RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forks the top. Wow. And he flings a mitten. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to another edition of the MMA Report podcast, interview edition. It is Sunday, September the 26th. Hopefully you've had a great weekend if you're listening to this on Sunday, or maybe you're listening to it during the week. Hopefully you're off to a good start to your week. Of course, this is the edition of the podcast where I let you hear some of the interviews that I've had with fighters over the past week. And here on this edition of the podcast, you're going to hear my conversations with a couple of fighters, a trio of fighters who are coming off a win at the UFC Vegas card. You hear from Damon Jackson, Andre Uhl, and Tyson Nam. Also, you're going to hear from a fighter who is now the interim CFFC welterweight champion, Bobby Lee. He got a win, of course, they're a part of that CFFC card. And the final interview is going to be with Justin Wetzel. He's going to be a part of the LFA card coming up on Friday night. But up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Damon Jackson returning to the UFC after being away for nearly 4 years, steps up on during fight week to take the fight, and of course, against Mirsad Bektik. And it did not look good early on in that fight, but ended up getting the submission win in the third round. So here is my conversation with Damon Jackson. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who is coming off a third-round victory this past weekend, UFC Vegas 11. Damon Jackson. Damon, appreciate the time. Obviously, 3 days' notice. You step up, you take the fight, and this journey back to the UFC, this 4-year journey, back to the UFC. How would you describe this journey back?
Man, it's been crazy, just because it's I was so young in my career that, the whole time I was out, that I was just trying to become an actual better martial artist the whole time. So, it was just part of the very beginning of my journey. So, this whole time I've been working on my wrestling, been working on jiu-jitsu, been working on striking, just, a little bit of everything. So it's been a long trip, but I've been so busy just becoming a martial artist that, just a well-rounded martial artist that I haven't really I hadn't dwelled about it every day. It's just something that it kind of happened, and I've been working my way back ever since. And really, it's just until after getting back there that I realized all the stuff that, I had to do to get there.
You had 10 fights in between your two stints. And it makes me kind of think about it as you think about where you were as a martial artist back at the end of 2016 and to where you're at now. Is there a major difference you see in yourself right now as opposed to 2016?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like whenever I made it in, I'd only been hit in the face a handful of times in my fights before that, because I basically would go out there and take everyone down before anything ever happened. So I never knew how I would react in getting hit in the middle of a fight and dealing with, different things with, as far as the different opponents. I pretty much always fought strikers. I never fought another wrestler. I never fought another grappler, really. So just learning how to deal with all that. And, in the meantime, it's really helped me out a lot. But, I think just going into it, I was only 18 months into my career whenever I made it into the UFC. So if you do 18 months of anything, you're not going to be an expert. So it's the only thing that I was really an expert in was grappling. So it's been nice to take this time to, just work on everything. And so, yeah, I definitely have changed just night and day, changed my knowledge and just what I do in the gym and stuff. It's just completely different.
And of course, in these times, a lot of fighters are getting opportunities that, it may be, hey, can you make weight in 2 days? Can you make weight in 3 days? And your manager has gotten a lot of guys into the UFC in these short notice opportunities. Was that kind of leading up to last week? It was just, Jason House was just like saying, hey, man, just be ready, man. Just be ready, because that call can come at any moment, and be ready to make weight.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. Before that, I was I watch every single card and I look at and see how many featherweight fights they had, and I saw how many lightweight fights they had. So like every single card every week, I was like, okay, I got, you know, I have there, here's five fighters or five fights that I could replace. That's 10 guys. And you know, it was crazy because like a month ago there was a card. I don't remember the card, but there was five fights that I could replace. And so I was like, oh, this is it for sure. So I started training really hard, got my weight where it needed to be so I could go to 45 or 55. And then once the card came, nothing happened. And so I think there was one guy had to get replaced because of COVID. And then the next week it was like there was three fights. And I was like, oh, that's still pretty good odds. You know, it's six guys. And then nothing happened. And then the next week there was like another set of five. And I was like, dude, like, come on, give me something. And then this week, the week that I fought, there was actually only two fights that I could replace. So it was like the Derek Minor or TJ something, like they're young guys. And then this fight. And when I saw Betic, you know, I saw him like a month ago and I was like, man, there's no way his opponent's going to make it to the cage for sure. He's going to pull out. Either injury, he's going to say he's injured or he's going to have COVID or something, because the kid was like coming off a loss and he, you know, he hasn't been in the UFC very long. So I was like, there's no way he'll take this fight.
And so when you get the call, it's in, like, what goes in? Is it merely at that moment? Is it a cram session with you and your coaches about what the game plan would be? Like what kind of goes into those 3 days? Or is it such everything's happening so fastly that it's all a blur?
Well, number one, you gotta like check the boxes with all your medicals, and you gotta make sure that all your stuff's taken care of. And like, I had to make sure that my girls were taken care of, and then my wife had everything arranged while I was gone. So for me, that was number one, just getting all that stuff squared away. And then it was like after that, it was really just a matter of getting there and then watching film. I was watching film of him on the airplane ride over. And, you know, because I really never studied him before that. And so I was watching film. And then once I got there, my coach got there a little later. And then we sit down and talked about, you know, what the game plan would be. And then kind of going in from there, we lightly drill. But then I had to go right into cutting weight. So, there was no drill time besides like a handful of like shadow boxing things or like, you know, we walked through a couple of things. But we really didn't get to go over step by step what the game plan or the fight was actually going to be.
How would you evaluate the first 10 minutes of this fight?
I really didn't think that he was going to shoot, honestly. Whenever he shot in the first time, I was 100% prepared to do just a scrappy stand-up boxing fight. You know, I thought his coaches would tell him to stay away from me, because that's like the only thing that I had for, you know, my conditioning is always going to be better on the ground than it is going to be on the feet. So like for him to shoot in like that really caught me off guard. So that was a big reason why the takedowns happened so quickly. But then once we hit the ground, I didn't feel really threatened at all. And I was like, dude, I'm going to like kind of see what he's doing. And then I'm going to go for a sub myself. And then once I had the guillotine locked up and the Kimura and then a guillotine again, I had that stuff like kind of locked up. And I knew that he was working hard to get out of it and everything. But I really thought that I had the submission a few times. And so to get it in that third round was pretty crazy. The whole setup was nuts, but it was it was definitely a 3-day notice fight. It's not like I was it wasn't like I was hiding it. Like, I didn't know anything about the fight until Tuesday. So,
and of course, when the second round ends, they put a profile on you in your corner, and Saif Saud, he was not holding back on you in terms of that. Like, what do you remember about that 1 minute between the second and the third round?
Just really how important it was to like kick it in gear, because I could tell that like I had pushed the game plan to the max, which was like kind of letting wear itself out with wrestling and then see what happens kind of thing. And whenever he was like, listen, he's like, you're down two rounds, you need to just, you know, let it loose, like, you know, make something happen. And I was like, I feel pretty good, actually. I feel like I'm not like super tired. Even though like my grip strength was gone because I went for that guillotine and I went for that Kimura, so my forearms were like, they were fried. And so once that third round hit, that was all that was all mental. So it was nice to have him do that, because that's what kind of like got me excited to go out there and start putting the pressure on him. And then he shot it again. I was like, all right, done.
And of course you get the win. Now you mentioned after a fact of like, man, let me get a full camp in. Let me get a full camp in before the next one. It's kind of maybe the hope of, you know, November, December, try to get back on one of those Vegas cards.
Yes. I want November like so bad. It'd be amazing to have a fight, you know, either beginning or end of November. Like, I don't care either way. I just like, and there's really not any one person that I'm like, you know, dying to fight. You know, I would like to fight anyone on a streak, you know, like Yusuf Salam, Alex Caceres. Like there's a couple guys on these streaks that, you know, who like, I just want to fight, man. I just want someone that's going to go in there and, you know, we'll get to compete against, and it's tough. So it's, there's plenty of those guys in the UFC. So I'm just trying to, stay healthy and stay ready for November. That's the game plan. Right now there's no talk of an opponent yet. You know, it's just coming off this week. So it's I think I may be here in the next week or two. I'll kind of know, you know, what the game plan is.
Are you already back in the gym, or are you still kind of, resting a little bit?
I came back in, on Monday, just to kind of say like, what's up to everybody. And, you know, like, you know, you guys got to keep training, like just kind of talk a little bit. And just kind of seeing everybody. So it was cool to make my rounds, like coming in there and saying hi to everybody. But as far as like training goes, I'm not really full out training yet. I'll probably go like another day or two to just kind of relax. And then Saturday will be my first big day to like spar and everything. So
how often do you spar?
Like Tuesday night, we do spar, but it's usually for the guys that have a fight. So it's usually like a mix of like heavy guys and light guys. So we all kind of spar, but we don't really have individual attention on Tuesday. So like on Saturday, if you have a fight, you're 100% going to do rounds. Like everybody's going to be coming in fresh on you. So what we do, we cycle through fresh guys on whoever has a fight, and you get that individual attention on Saturday. So we spar, you know, 2 days a week, but it's really like a technical sparring and then like all out, just, you know, everything, takedowns, kicks, punches, knee to the body, like whatever you want. And then on Tuesday, it's really just all stand up where it's, you know, just kick, punching and kicking. That's it. So,
of course, we look forward to seeing when the next fight may take place. We'll see. Maybe it gets in for November before the holiday season, so you can kind of enjoy some of that good food.
You know, I wrestled all these years, man. I wrestled for so long that I never really enjoyed Thanksgiving. I never really got into eating the bad, like the, you know, bad food or any of that stuff. So, like, maybe this will be my year. I get to, like, kind of let loose and eat a little bit. But it's been like that since, like, seventh grade. So I won't be too sad if I do get a fight in December.
Do you let loose after your fight's over? Like, is there like a meal you go get?
Like, yeah. Well, the biggest thing is like the night of my fight, I always have like a cheeseburger, like a really good cheeseburger from somewhere. And then the next day I usually have some donuts. And then like, I usually go like, you know, 2 or 3 days of where I just kind of eat stuff that I never get to eat. Yeah. And then it kind of gets it out of my system. But the only thing that I really ever crave is donuts.
Interesting.
Like donuts are something that like when I see it, like I kind of want those all the time, but I never eat them unless I have a fight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like something I think about, but that's the only kind of like junk food or whatever that I really think about all the time. But I kind of eat a little bit of everything after my fight's over, just to keep it out of my mind, you know, whenever I have a fight. So,
of course, look forward to seeing when the next fight takes place. Damon, I really appreciate the time. Of course, let me know if they can follow you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
No, man, I'm just ready to fight. And, you know, if anybody wants to call me out or like do whatever, like go to Sean, man. Like, I'm not wasting time. I'm ready to get back in there in November, December. So, you know, like, what's up, man? I don't know what to say. I'm not gonna sit here and trash talk anyone into a fight, but I'm game to fight anybody any of those dates in November and December.
Great stuff there from Damon Jackson. I really appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his journey back to the UFC and also his win against Mirsad Bektik. And, you know, maybe we'll see him back inside the UFC Octagon come November or December. Next up, you're going to hear a conversation with another man who got a win on that fight card. Andre Uhl, of course, got a split decision victory against Erwin Rivera. A part of that fight card, I had a chance to talk to him about his win, and he evaluates his performance in the fight. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a win this past weekend, UFC Vegas, Andre Uhl. Andre, man, as always, man, I appreciate the time. So this was your first experience with pandemic fighting, no fans in attendance, everything that kind of just, you know, goes in with what a UFC event is in our current lives. So what's your biggest takeaway from last week, just in terms of kind of what fight week was like in comparison to the last time you fought?
I can say the fight week was actually like very awkward. Just like you're not allowed to leave, you know, you're like automatically locked into one hotel, and only time that you're able to walk is inside the perimeter, inside the spot and everything. And the problem about it was you're always getting checked. So it didn't matter how you end up doing. So UFC had it basically locked down. They did pretty well. Really good job of making sure people don't come in or out, and making sure that everybody was tested and you know, everybody was clean and everything. So it automatically gave out points, and into the fight, no crowds. Obviously, I'm a crowd pleaser, so I'm the type of person that would miss everybody. So, you know, the fans is everything. I feel like the fans is what ends up pushing you. So, or that could end up pushing you in multiple different directions and everything. So, ended up missing that. But I still ended up doing what I had to do. So, it was, I guess you can say, a teeter-totter that ended up evening it out, you know.
Did it feel like early in your career where you're fighting in front of not many fans? I mean, did it all kind of bring back that memories?
You can go ahead and say that. You know, I'm not even going to end up complaining off of it, because when I'm in the fighting, I always end up tuning everybody out. So it's like one of those like situations. I don't really hear things besides what my coaches are saying. And granted, even if they are saying some stuff that don't make sense, like, hey, you know, go out there and kill them. Hey, I'm listening to the word that says kill them, so I'm going to go ahead and try to kill them, you know? So it's like, I guess you can just say it's where your mindset's at. At the end of the day, it's where your mind's at. And me, I always block out the crowd. Granted that I feed off of them, but I always block them out. So it's, you know, it's one of those give or take type thing.
How do you evaluate your performance?
Me personally, I gave myself a C. Just the fact is that I wanted the knockout. Like, you know, man, it was one of those things I was telling people that I'm going to get a knockout, in which, you know, it was there. It was literally there. First round. Problem about it was I had an opponent that had a heart and a granite chin. And if you mix those together, you get a difficult, strong Mexican warrior, you know? So it was one of those, again, give or take type of situations. But a C plus, if anything. A lot of people, like, you know, my brother, he started at me with a D plus, then he rewatched it, then he gave me like a better grade. And then, you know, and I was like, okay, I can end up landing with you with a B. And then my cousin ended up with finishing off with me with a B plus. Just the fact is, everybody was like talking about my stamina and this and stamina and that. But come out my third round, I end up putting out basically output more than my first and second round. Damn near almost matched my first and second round with my third round. Over 304 punches thrown, 199 of them were significant strikes, and I land. Or 299 of them was significant strikes, and I land 124 significant strikes. Those are all trying to kill you type punches, all type of try to kill you type of, you know, kicks or elbows or whatever they end up placing. So you got to end up looking at it like my grade and my performance was actually really well.
Obviously, you get the win. Split decision, did that bother you a little bit?
Mouthful.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Split decision, I guess you can say, again, it comes down to the fight decision, my fault. If I didn't leave it to the judges, we don't hear that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's three people's opinions that matter. The world can say a million things, but It's the ones that matter inside the cage, you know? Because one could be looking for just wrestling, you know? Clearly the one that gave dude that round, or the, you know, that basically the fight, it was, oh, well, he took him down, so we'll give him the round. That's only how you can end up giving him a round. Now think about that, you know? But if you end up looking at it from like a standpoint, first, second, and third round, I dominated all the way through. No matter how you end up flipping the coin, I dominated. More strikes, you know, more cage control, stop the takedowns. You can end up looking at left and right on points. The only thing that you'll probably see he had was flashier. You know, as soon as he ended up doing the dart, that was his flash. And if you end up basically judging off of that, oh, he's more flashier, then maybe that's what the judge honestly gave him a round for. But at the end of the day, three opinions matter, and it's up to you to figure out what people like. And the best way to honestly figure out what everybody likes is finish the fight. So now no one can end up judging anything. Yeah. You know, submit them, knock them out, one or the other.
And now you got this win, back-to-back wins here. You know, I know we had talked a little bit earlier this year. You like the Chris Gutierrez call out. Chris is coming off a loss. The fact that he's now coming off a loss, does that weaken your interest in that fight?
I don't want to say it weakens. It's just that where I'm at, my mindset is to end up fighting basically big names right now, you know. And Chris is a good, you know, don't get me wrong, Chris is a really great fighter. And I really do still feel like it's going to be spectacular, but I'm trying to get re-signed. And it's one of those situations where everything has to end up either me fighting the best or one of the best or one of the top ranked numbers. And right now, that's what I'm thinking of, is fighting a ranked guy right at the moment. If Chris was ranked, Chris will be the one that's first on my list. But Chris ain't ranked right now, and so I'm trying to get to fighting the ranked people. And like I stated, everybody that's in the weight class, you know, I definitely want to fight. I want to have respect for every one of them, you know. It comes down to that. Even if they hate me, dislike me, I don't understand how you can, but if it ends up coming to a moment like you dislike me and whatnot, it is what it is, you know. But it's one of those situations where we're in a game and marketing business where you're trying to get to the top, you know. You're trying to be number one in your weight class. Right now, I'm trying to be number one in the weight class. And for me to get to number one, I got to fight people that are ranked higher than me. And if it's like right now, my mindset is fighting Chico again. I want to fight him. I feel like another good matchup for me will be Song, you know. And if you end up looking at Stanman, that's getting ready to end up fighting somebody.
Marab.
Yeah, there you go. Like that'd be like a fight, like one of those people didn't fall out, I'll jump in. I'd be definitely happy to end up taking that. Even Brian Keller right now, he has a big name that's up in there that it mean him fight, me winning. It can catapult me. It's a little small things, as in what you end up seeing. Who's the names that people are always talking about, like O'Malley. Granted, I feel like me and him will meet in the future, but that's another name that's automatically that's touched the rankings, or me and him fight that can automatically push me into that. Or we can go ahead and be real. I want to fight Derek Lewis, so we can go ahead and make that happen. You feel me? I'll move up weight, and I'll end up eating whatever I got to do. Me and him fighting, I ended up building up a good name for myself, and period, as in I'm moving up in the rankings and all of them. Because the way I look at it is every weight class and anybody that's in every weight class can get it. Mentality, mindset.
I want to go back on something you said. Make sure I didn't misunderstand you. Is your contract coming to an end?
Yeah, I got one more on my contract. And right now it's basically on that negotiation type ordeal that we're trying to make happen.
Yeah,
Like my last contract, I had four, it was four fights, but I only got to three. It was renegotiation. So right now I hit my third. I'm trying to get the renegotiation, but I do know since the COVID stuff is happening, kind of people are like backing off on a lot of things, and I can end up seeing where the UFC is coming from, you know, like their mindset. It's one of those situations where we can sign you and you might end up not fighting for the rest of the year because of the COVID, you know, or, you know, whatever the standpoint is. But like for me, you got nothing to worry about, because I want to fight. Like literally, I want to get two more fights out of this year. And if I'm able to get that, that'd be freaking perfect. You know, so whoever they give me, whatever name, hey, I'm going to end up trying to take it. So my mindset is trying to go to Fight Island. So if anybody ends up trying to get there, I got basically 4 to 5 weeks left, or 4 more weeks left. I'm trying to end up landing on the last week or the week before, or week prior before that, so we can end up making magic.
Yeah, as you said, 2 fights left. I'll be like, okay, as we're talking, September 25th, I'm like, man, to get 2 fights in, you got to go, at least one's got to be at least in Fight Island. You know, and I just didn't know with, you know, your personal life, if you wanted to, you know, obviously all the travel that goes involved with that, of how much that kind of affects your decision. Or is it like, look, this is business. It's what has to be done.
That's where it's at. It's business, and this is what has to be done. Like, everybody that's on Team Yule know this. They're already on board. They already have the mentality that Andre wants to be busy. Like, I've been off for 7 months, mm-hmm. literally, from, you know, forearm in, or, you know, breakage, my 2 knees that ended up getting worked on. Like, at the mind, my mindset is, hey, I literally want to automatically fight. Like, think about it. If any of that stuff didn't happen, this would have, last week would have been my 3rd fight.
Yeah.
I would have 3 fights already in this year. So right now, I feel like I'm behind 1 more fight, and I probably wouldn't be able to slide in number 4. So right now, if I'm able to slide all these fights in, why not?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I get you. I mean, because I knew all the injuries you had, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, psychologically, when you are cleared to get back in competition, like that first day back in the gym, are you not quite 100% because you're like, you know what, let me take it a little easy? Or is it like, nah, man, I got to test this thing out, make sure I'm good to go?
It's like that. Like, let me test it out. Granted, like, everybody around me, take your time. You know, professor, my wrestling coach, like, you know, every one of them, man, take your time, you know. And it's kind of like, no, we're good. You know, let me just see where it's at. And then I know where, if it ends up locking or not locking, but like, oh, it hurts, I end up backing off. They know that I'm good at saying, hey, I'm gonna take it easy. Hey, I'm gonna kind of go hard. Or hey, I'm gonna test some stuff out today. Or hey, we're gonna find out. And normally I walk in there with, we're going to find out. Because mm-hmm. when you catch that moment, that means you already know I'm like 100% like locked in. So you finish whatever's being ready to be placed on the table, you know?
So you mentioned about right now, it's a good life. Are you back in the gym yet?
Oh, yeah. I've been back to, basically I was back on Tuesday.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, as soon as we got back, I was like, I was already touching on kicks. I even posted it about it and everything. So I was back. I literally just got back and did jits today. I would have been doing jits yesterday, but I messed around and got food poisoning, you know. So I'm sitting here like basically shitting and throwing up on my ass. Like, you know, it was a bad burger. Let me just go ahead and say that. But it ended up bringing me back in today. So right now it's just about me maintaining back down to the weight that I need to be at, which is like 54, 52, and I already touched 55/56 today. So I give or take, by the end of the day, I should be touching 54, 53. And after that, it's cruise selling, you know, because I'm, so 100% going to be well prepared. So it's going to be 35, 140, 145. Anybody that ends up falling out, I'm going to be stepping in.
And we look forward to seeing if that does happen here on Fight Island. Andre, as always, man, I appreciate time. Of course, let me know anything, find on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
You know, nothing but love to my, you know, Team Yule. Again, Team Yule. It's automatically love from there. And everybody that's obviously pushing me forward and by having my back, nothing but love. And obviously, thank you for always having me. You know, it's always a smile. Always there.
And there was my conversation with Andre Uhl. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his win there at UFC Vegas number 11. Now, back-to-back wins by a split decision for Andre Uhl. And, you know, obviously, really interesting to kind of hear his evaluation of his performance. I also talk about the fact that he only has 1 fight left on his current UFC deal, which is the time when the UFC does like to get their fighters under new contracts. And also mentioning the fact that he wants someone with a number next to his name. Do got to admit, I was wrong in that interview for whatever reason. I don't know why I said it was a loss for Chris Gutierrez when it was a draw. Look, mistakes happen. I can admit that I do make mistakes. So we'll see exactly what happens there for Andre Uhl next. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Tyson Nam. He has now got back-to-back wins, both by stoppage. So I had a chance to catch up with Tyson, talk to him about his win at UFC Vegas 11, and much more.
Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's coming off a TKO victory this past weekend at the UFC Vegas card, UFC Apex. Tyson Nam. Tyson, appreciate time. Obviously, it's been an interesting 2 weeks for you. It's supposed to take on Matt Schnell, weigh-in day. I think it's everyone kind of knows the story with Matt there. But then you get Jerome Rivera. So kind of how did you learn that Matt was out of the fight?
I literally, on the day of weigh-in, around a little after 9 o'clock, I make the 126 mark. And only then did I get a call from my manager that Matt Schnell is out of the fight. So it was a little bit upsetting just because, I mean, making 126 pounds is never an easy task for myself, just being a bigger flyweight in general. But that went down, and my manager said, don't worry, they're going to find a last-minute replacement guy for possibly next week. I was like, okay, I guess I got to do this all over again. But, you know, it's for the UFC. I'm a company man. I love doing what I love doing for them. So 2 weeks, no problem.
So when they come back and say, hey, we got a opponent for you, it's bantamweight. Was that kind of like, okay, all right, I can dig this?
Yeah, I definitely needed that moving up a weight class just because I didn't see it in my mind making 126 pounds 2 weeks in a row. So asked for a little bit of favor, and especially coming off a last minute notice, everyone's not going to be near weight, so might as well just do it at a weight class above.
And of course, you go out there, you get the knockout in the second round, dropped him, and it really seemed like with about a minute to go in the opening round is kind of where you really started to find that range. You started, land some good shots. Was there a moment in that first round where you just kind of felt like, okay, I'm getting what I want now?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere about 2 minutes left into the round. I opened up with like a 5-6 punch combo, and I was like, I think I got my timing. I think I got his timing down. I got my range down, just because he's a really tall flyweight, being a 5'10". So not really used to having someone actually taller or longer than me at that weight class. But once I got it down, I knew it was coming soon.
Obviously, leg kicks were obviously a big part of his game plan. When I was watching him fight, you mentioned it after it, like you knew that was coming. Anything surprise you about how he threw the leg kicks?
I thought he was going to throw a little bit more teep kicks, a little bit more push kicks. But I was me and my team that we stayed up there an extra week than needed be. We watched a lot of video, kind of emulated a lot of his techniques for me to slide on in and catch him with that right hand.
And of course you get the stoppage win, back-to-back wins now for you here. And you had an interesting call out name, Joe Benavidez. What about that fight intrigued you so much?
You know, Joe B, he's been like a top three, top five contender in his weight, any weight class that he actually fights in, any organization that he's ever fought in. So we share like a common opponent, Ali Bagutinov. We're same age right now. So, but when I'm thinking about the fight, man, that just from a start to finish, whether it comes in the first, second, or goes the distance. If someone tells me that fight's not going to be exciting, that's not going to be fire, man, I'll show you someone that's a liar.
Has the UFC given you any indication if that's a route they want to go?
No, not at all. It just kind of just popped into my mind the week of the fight. Like, when I get this win, who do I want to fight next? I like punching people in the face, so I like looking up the roster, seeing who's available, who's up in line for an upcoming fight. And Joe B looked good to me.
You mentioned about December-ish, January-ish is kind of when you like that fight happen. I got a good chuckle when you said, you know what, I want to get out of shape, then I'll get back into shape.
It's not necessarily getting out of shape as you would think, just not fight shape, but being that my previous fight before this last one was about 3 months time, and I was like, yeah, you know, I really do need that 3 months, just physically, even more like mentally, just because I swear I got undiagnosed ADHD, and I need to be doing something a little bit different than something just continuous over and over, which is why I was growing up, I was a 3-4 sport athlete, just because I just needed a switch up every single time. So, you know, for the next week or two, maybe I'll go to the beach or something of that sort, try to forget about MMA a little bit. This way, when I come back, I'll come back well refreshed and ready to knock someone else's head off.
What was your favorite sport to compete in as a child?
My first love was basketball. So I think my height did not meet the requirements of being a professional basketball player.
You got to the point, it's like, I'm a little too short for this.
Yeah, you know, I right around 5'7", 5'8"-ish, I stopped growing. I was like, man, I think like the shortest players, I mean, there's those exceptions, but on average, the shortest player is probably like closer to like 6-something.
Yeah, 6 feet would probably be about the minimum you got to play to be a point guard in the NBA at this point. You know? Or you go up against like someone Ben Simmons, who's much, much taller,
Much taller.
So how do you, you mentioned about going to the beach. Any good cheat meals on the itinerary this week for you?
I like pizza. You know, we got awesome plate lunches where when you ask for salad here in Hawaii, they actually mean macaroni salad. So, but... everything and anything, just a little taste for the next week, just to refocus, recenter, and get my mind and body right again.
Are you keeping your eye on this weekend's card, in particular with the Kai Car France and Brandon Royval fight? Is that something that's on your radar?
Fan, which is why I love fighting in flyweight division. Everyone's really technical, everyone's really fast, and as of recent, I mean, everybody's been finishing everybody, so to me it is one of the most exciting divisions right now as we speak.
You know, for a long time it's always been about, oh, flyweights, the fights go distance, they don't get the stoppage. Is there anything you point to of why you think why we're now seeing more finishes at 125 pounds than before?
I'm not too sure. Maybe they got the roster correct now to where we got a bunch of just animals running at each other, just trying to rip each other's arms, heads off. Something that they did, maybe it's the size of the cage. I don't know what they did, but, yeah, we're putting on exciting fights for the fans and for everybody at home watching.
Do you prefer the smaller cage?
I do. I don't like a lot of running. I remember when I first started, I was at the boxing gym and I'm sparring and I'm moving around a lot. My coach stops the sparring. He's like, Tyson, park the bus and go to work. He's like, okay. Okay. So from there, a little bit of movement, but man, we got to get to work. So that small cage fits the bill for me.
That's a great line, by the way. That's a great line. That's awesome. But we look forward to seeing when your next fight is going to take place. We'll see if you get that Joe B fight. But Tyson, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know where they can find you on social media and the sponsors that help you out, man.
Yeah. Follow me up on top of Instagram, Namino11, Twitter, good old Tyson Nam.
And that was my conversation with Tyson Nam. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his win there at UFC Vegas number 11. Also talk about what intrigues him about a potential matchup against Joseph Benavidez. We'll be interesting to kind of see if the UFC goes that route. You got to kind of wonder, is that a fight that interests Joseph Benavidez? I mean, I think you obviously understand why it's a fight that would interest Tyson Nam, but will it interest Joseph Benavidez? Maybe is another story. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee is now the interim CFFC welterweight champion, got a win there, decision win, and had a chance to catch up with him and talk to him about his win there to become the interim welterweight champion. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a victory this past weekend, CFFC, to win the interim lightweight welterweight title. It's Bobby Lee. Bobby, man, congrats on the victory. Obviously, a very ground-heavy fight. First round, the submission attempts that you were going for. Second round, you got to defend some submission attempts coming from Hill. I mean, like, as you evaluate your own performance, what would you say is the thing you're happiest with, and maybe the thing that you realize, like, man, I should not have gotten that position?
The thing I'm happiest about is I did exactly what I said I was going to do, and that's I moved forward. Like, in the first 5 minutes or 5 seconds of the fight, I'm moving forward. And I landed the first significant strike, and from there it was all me. So the thing I'm happiest about is I moved forward, and I didn't succumb to being afraid of getting hit. I waded into the fight, and being on offense one of my favorite expressions is a good defense is being on offense. Or that's not it. Let me rethink that. A good defense is being on offense the whole time. It's easier to run forward than it is to run backwards. So I'm extremely happy that I wasn't afraid. I engaged in the fight, and I did that every single round. Every single round, I moved forward. I was never the guy moving backwards. I controlled the center, and I got him to the fence. And I didn't have to strike much because he didn't defend the takedowns. I mean, the first takedown attempt worked. You know, I didn't have to string together and go to different things. So I was extremely happy with how things went.
Did he do anything that surprised you?
No, he didn't. He didn't. I was not surprised. Everything he could have done, like the guillotine attempts, I was all prepared for it. So, no, he didn't. He didn't surprise me. I'm not saying that he wasn't good and he wasn't like trying to win and he was in the fight, but it's just, I never let him get offense going at all.
In terms of this, your submission attempts, particularly in the opening round, was there one that you go back and look at now and say, man, that thing was so close. It's just an inch off and I could have gotten it.
Yeah. So the Kimura, it wasn't really very close, but the north south attempt, I got him with a north south choke. And not only did I think it was in, but he bucked to try to get away, and I sunk into it deeper. So, I mean, there was definitely an opportunity for him to tap and to get out of there, but he fought through it. That north-south choke, I was squeezing it, and I really thought it was on. And I never let off the pressure. I was squeezing and going for the finish, and it went from the north-south choke to almost like a guillotine variation. But that was the closest one. That was the closest I was to finishing the fight. And he just gritted through it.
Was there ever a moment in the fight that you just kind of, where you felt him slowing down?
The first takedown, he scrambled to his feet and got right back up. But I never let go. I never disengaged. As soon as he got back up, I kneed him. And then I pushed him to the fence and got another takedown. I think after that takedown, after settling in and being on top for 20, 30 seconds, I was thinking he's already spent his energy. He spent his energy the first time he scrambled up. And ever since then, I could feel his battery sapping.
And of course, you go on, you get the win and to win the interim title here. So, what's the plans next for you now as you progress in your mixed martial arts journey?
You know, that's that term, interim champion, that's frustrating to me, because even the night of the fight, we knew Jeremiah Wells was signed to the UFC. He's not going to defend the CFFC belt. So, I mean, why are they calling it an interim belt? I am the undisputed CFFC champion. So, And now the other thing is, as I accepted this fight at 170 because it was for the belt. That is the reason I was at 170. All year long, I've been planning to make 155. I was supposed to make 155 back in February for my Bellator debut. That has not left my mind. I want to make that. That's my weight class. That's where I belong. So this was the reason I accepted the fight was because there have not been offers in 2020. It's been the worst year like imaginable. So, I mean, here's a fight offer. But the reason I accepted it was for the title. When Jeremiah Wells was out of the fight because he was negotiating with the UFC, they offered me Mike Hill, and it was going to be a three-round fight. And I said, no, 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 I want it to be for the belt. So I kind of resisted just saying yes to a three-round fight, and they gave me the championship fight. I don't really know what the story was on it being a four-round fight with the fifth round only being for tiebreaker, but I don't think the fight would have changed had it gone one more round. If anything, I would have gotten the finish.
You mentioned about 2020. It's been a weird year for all of us. How would you say you've progressed as a martial artist?
So most people would say 2020 is just, it's been a terrible year. Let's get on with it. Let's get to 2021. It hasn't actually been, like, looking back at it, it hasn't been that terrible for me. It's back in February, I ranked up in Muay Thai. I went through a rank test where I have to do like a certain amount of kicks and knees inside of a certain amount of time, and it's a real demanding physical test, and I passed that test and I moved up in Muay Thai, and then just a month or so ago I moved up in Jiu-Jitsu and got my brown belt, and that means a lot to me. You know, you could have a bunch of birthdays in your life, but you only rank up in Jiu-Jitsu four times. You know, the next step is black belt. So, I mean, between, you know, being signed for a Bellator fight, moving up in Muay Thai, moving up in Jiu-Jitsu, winning the CFFC title, it hasn't been a bad year for me and my martial arts growth.
In terms of when you would like your next fight to take place, do you have a timeline?
I would like to fight again before the end of the year, whether it's early December or late December. It doesn't matter. I don't have much of a Twitter presence. There's not much to say. I like to let my fighting speak for itself. But I tweeted at Sean Shelby the other day, and it was just like, I want to fight again before the end of the year. And my name is in the hat. You know, my manager and my coaches, they're on speaking terms with Sean Shelby. So we just, the ball is in their court. Most likely what is going to happen is someone's going to get injured and they're going to, can I make weight on 2-3 weeks notice? So right now that's where I'm at, is I need to be skinny and I need to be, ready to make weight.
Is it also putting your weight a point of making 55 on 2-3 weeks notice? Is that part of the thought process too, of whether it's 55 or 70, I'm good for either one?
Yeah, I'm game. It's moving up to one. So fighting at 170. So Mike Hill, he's fought at 185 before. He's a big guy, and to get in the cage with him and like the very first clinch we had, as soon as I got my fingers locked, and I put a little bit of a squeeze on him, I kind of felt that, like, that little bit of that moment where you know you got someone, you have the extra horsepower. So it felt good to be at 170 and to be like the stronger guy in there. I'm gonna bring that strength down to 155, and when I bring the weight down, like the conditioning is gonna come up too. So it's just like, I'm gonna have the strength and I'm gonna have the output ready to put a hurting on some of these guys.
And we look forward to seeing when that next fight's going to take place. Bobby, congrats on the victory. Look forward to seeing when the next one's going to take place. Of course, you know, let everyone know they can follow you on social media. And anything else you want to mention?
I'm Bobby Lee MMA on all the social medias. But I, as always, I just need to thank everyone who has been helping me, all my St. Cloud and my St. Anthony teammates. It's the people that I'm rubbing elbows with and that are putting me in these bad situations. You know, like, I was in a guillotine on Friday night, and I've been in those guillotines, and, you know, I have losses on my record, but my teammates, they're putting me in these bad situations and making me work out of them. So I just gotta, I, I'm uh, just incredibly thankful for the people who pushed me in the practice room. I love those guys. And, you know, shout out to my coaches. Brock has been with me from day one. That was one of the like bigger like parts of this fight was like, he was there for me winning an amateur championship 5 years ago. It was actually the same weekend. The same weekend I won an amateur championship 5 years ago is the same weekend I won my first professional championship. And Brock was there the whole time with me. So just incredibly grateful for him. And on that note, Dethrone sponsored me, and I've been loyal to them. They've been loyal to me. I just, you know, am incredibly thankful for them supporting me.
Of course, my biggest takeaway of that interview with Bobby Lee is basically saying, yeah, I don't know why it was an interim title when Jeremiah Wells has been signed by the UFC. So we'll see what happens there with Bobby Lee as a man that's been primarily, most recently, fighting for LFA. So we'll see what happens with him next. Now, our final interview part of this week's podcast, this interview edition of the podcast, will be with Justin Wetzel, a Team Elevation Fighter. He's going to be a part of the LFA show coming on Friday. So here's my conversation with the Team Elevation product, Justin Wetzel. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a masquerade part of next week's LFA 92. Justin, man, appreciate time. When you made this announcement on Instagram, your caption kind of stuck out to me where you said, LFA in 11 days, let's go. I've been staying ready, waiting for an opportunity. This is anything but, in parentheses, short notice. Do you not like the fact that people call this a short notice fight?
Yeah, man. You know, I myself, I'm really sketchy about taking short notice fights. I've never taken one, but with everything going on, I know that the opportunity to fight is very rare, and that the opportunity comes very short now. So I've, you know, being surrounded by other people that are in the UFC, like Corey Sandhagen, getting ready for Marlon Moraes, I've had to stay in shape and be ready to help him. And I've just been praying to whatever God exists, whatever universe, whatever you want to call it, to just send me an opportunity, send something my way. You know, I'm 28, I'm in the peak, I'm coming into my peak, and I want to compete on the bigger stage, and I gotta get a couple wins, or I gotta win this next week impressively, and I know I can get there. So when this call came for this fight, there was no doubts. There was no, am I in shape? Is my weight okay? I've been training and ready for a moment like this. So, like I said, anything but short notice, man.
Because of this era that we're in particularly from a fighting aspect where, you know, the reality is that, you know, there may not necessarily be a quote-unquote 6-8 week camp to prepare for a certain guy. Was there become a point in this year where you just said, you know what, I'm going to get a fight that I may only have 2-3 weeks notice on. I just got to be ready to go.
Yeah, really. I think honestly, here in Denver, once the gyms opened back up, I almost took for granted everything. You know, when the gym shut down and I was kind of just stuck at home and it was driving me kind of into madness with everything going on. You know, myself physically, and also like the way the world's reacting to everything going on, but that's a whole different conversation. But once things started to open back up and got back into full swing, I just knew I had to stay ready. I needed to take advantage of what I had lost with time, really, and I needed to just be ready for anything on a moment's notice, and here I am.
You know, of course, you were supposed to have that fight back in July. Unfortunately, that did not take place. It was a kind of, you know, was that a rough week or so for you to just say, man, it just, or do you live in that mindset of like it just wasn't meant to be?
A little bit of both, but, you know, I'm not going to bullshit and say, yeah, it's whatever. It fucking stung, man. Like, I saw that fight and I know I could have done very well in that fight. And ultimately, though, was the right decision. I won't go into too much details about it, but I was in a bad spot physically. To take that fight. So, but I'm around the right people though, and we made the right decision. My only loss in my career has come from taking a fight when I was very injured and the results kind of played out in the fight. So that's also where the, you know, it just wasn't meant to be comes into play also, but you can't say it doesn't suck either.
It's also really about just being smart, right? I mean, like, yeah. You know, not putting yourself in a, in a bad situation. You know, I mean, I know, I'm sure every fighter's had to deal with that, that mindset of like, man, I'm trying to work my way through this thing, but I just know that I'm not going to be the fighter I want to be on fight night if, you know, if I have to fight on X date.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's physically too, when you're injured, it can lead to like mental doubt and your mental health, which plays just such a huge part in this game too.
But you got this fight, Jordan is coming out of that California scene. Were you familiar with him at all before getting this fight offer?
No, not at all, man. I'd never heard of him. I had never seen him fight. I took a look at a couple fights. He's a little bigger than me. I know this fight is at 145 pounds as opposed to 135, but I liked what I saw, and I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity.
When you popped in that tape, you and the team there, was there something that immediately stuck out to you about Jordan?
Not necessarily. Just like he seemed actually fairly well-rounded in all aspects. He didn't seem to do anything, one particular thing, especially well, but just comparatively to my skills, to his skills, I think I'm better everywhere than him. So it's kind of a no-brainer fight to take when you think you're better than your opponent at every position.
Do you see the victory coming a certain way?
Man, I don't train for a first round finish, for a quick KO, but that's what I would like. I would like a first round finish, but like I said, I train for 15 minutes, a full fight, 25 at the championship, obviously, but I'm prepared for 15 minutes. And if it's got to go the full distance, then I'm just going to win impressively and win the whole time.
Would you say at all you're hunting for a first round finish?
I mean, that's kind of what moves you up, right? That's what gets you that promotion. I'm not gonna do anything out of my fighting style or anything I want to do to like get the finish, but that's ultimately the goal. Yeah, is to, you know, finish the fight. It's not something necessarily you look for, like look for the finish, but like you, it is when you hurt them, obviously, but when you're fighting, you're just kind of looking to, it's those punches you throw where you're not trying to knock them out that leads you to that knockout.
Yeah, you know, some guys will just kind of say it's also a feel kind of thing too, of like, you know, maybe you just, you know, like I was talking to Tyson Nam the other day, and we were talking about this fight last weekend, and I said, you know, there seemed to be kind of this turning point in the fight in the last 2 minutes of the opening round, and he's like, yeah, he goes, I figured out the timing. He goes, I finally got my opponent's timing down, and then everything just started to click. You know, is that kind of for you, like you can kind of understand where he's coming from of like there's any fights of you may not necessarily know when it's going to come, but there's going to kind of come a point in the fight where like, okay, I now got him.
Yeah, it very much. You can see it in their body language. And also knockouts are weird in general. Like there's been fights where I've been clipped where it was the perfect recipe for a knockout, right? Like I was turning the other way and I went into the punch, but for some reason I didn't get knocked out. And sometimes that sweet spot just lands and they go out. Like, for instance, my last fight, you know, it was 27 seconds. But leading up to that 27 seconds, I was very patient. I was finding a spot. And then once I found a spot, I took a punch and it just happened to land perfectly. And it just happened to shut the lights out. So it's also kind of there's an anomaly there with the knockouts mm-hmm. and the finishes. You know what I mean?
Obviously, there's so many opportunities that can potentially come up, especially for someone who's in your position or where you're at right now. Are you even thinking about that? Or is it like, it's so tunnel vision on next week that it's only about that fight and you worry about what could lead after that, you know, next Saturday?
The first thing I'm concerned about more than anything right now is next Friday and getting the win and doing it impressively. Obviously though, you know, what's on my mind is what can come after that. And almost, you know, skipping the line would be the ideal spot if I can do something impressively and get past the contenders, like not even compete on the contender series, get ready for be available for a short notice fight. That would be ideal. But I'm not looking past Friday. I have to do that first before anything. But I'm very well aware of the implications that are at stake if I do well. Absolutely.
I mean, like you mentioned this fight's at 45 and you typically fight at 35. Is the mindset right now of like, look, it's opportunity comes, it's 45, I'm going to go. But at the end of the day, it would the ideal world be a 35-pound fight?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My my professional weight, you know, for the high stakes fights are going to be at 135, definitely. Hey, man, if the UFC needs someone at 155 last second, like, you know, it's not necessarily out of the question either.
You'll hop in a car, get the Las Vegas. You'll have no problem getting there.
Gotta get your pinky toe in the door or whatever, man. Anything. Just as long as you're staying ready and, you know, in shape, who knows what could happen.
But, of course, up first here is LFA 92. Appreciate the time, Justin. Of course, everyone can watch the fight on UFC Fight Pass. Of course, let everyone know they can find out on social media. And anything else you want to mention, man?
Yeah, my management team, Dodge Sports. Thanks, guys. I told you guys to help me get a fight as soon as possible. You guys found me a great matchup next week, nonetheless. Follow me, Jay Wetzel MMA, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Thanks for having me, Jason, man.
And there you have my conversation with Justin Wetzel. Appreciate him coming on the show this week. Also, a special thanks to Damon Jackson, Andre Uhl, Tyson Nam, and Bobby Lee, all giving time to talk to me about whether it was a fight coming up in Justin's instance or recapping their performances, which would be the case with the other four fighters. So I really do appreciate them coming on the podcast this week. Of course, next episode of the podcast will come out on Wednesday, as myself and Daniel Galvan, we will take a look back at what happened at UFC 253. We'll take a look back at what happens at the Bellator event in Milan, as of course Bellator in the swing now with their international events, of course, now coming up on their debut on the CBS Sports Network. So some good things going on Bellator. And by the way, Bellator is making some good signings, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed this. You can definitely kind of see the switch that they're going. So that's probably something we'll talk about as well. Also, definitely going to talk a little bit more about the topic that we talked about last week, Colby Covington, and a little update on that after we saw what Dana White had to say. So that'll be coming up on Wednesday. Of course, every Sunday is the interview edition of this podcast. So I'll let you hear from the interviews I've had over the last week or so. I will tell you, one of the interviews that I will have on next week's podcast will be with Zach Powell. Also, slated to be on next Sunday's podcast that you're going to be able to hear will be Modestus Moukakis. He's got a fight coming up, so going to be talking to him coming up here this week. Also, Ashkar is scheduled to be talking to him coming up on Tuesday. And also, Jason High scheduled to talk to him on Tuesday. So all those interviews are set in stone to take place here next week on the podcast. So, of course, as always, if you love what you're hearing here, 5-star review, man, really helps me out a lot. That's, really do appreciate that. Anytime you can do that really does help out this show a lot in more ways than you may realize. Of course, be sure to follow me on social media, Twitter and Facebook and our Twitter and Instagram is at Jason_Floyd. And then if you're on Facebook, just search my name. You'll find me there. Find that handsome guy there. That'd be me. So be sure to check all that out. So that is going to do it for this edition of the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast, which you can always hear on RadioInfluence.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.